This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're going to shut him down. We're going to take care of to see what's going on with his cyst. Actually, check his wrist. If there's something else, we'll take care of that. If there's something going on, I think it's a head start to next year. It's a smart thing to do. If we were one game up or in the hunt, we'd probably be pitching out of the bullpen like in 17. But, you know, where we at and obviously how important he is, you know, it's better off moving forward and getting right.
So that's Alex Cora, Red Sox manager over at Fenway Park a short time ago, talking of David Price. David Price, left-hander, the Red Sox have shut him down for the season. And look, at the end of the day, you don't really care. You don't. They're out of it. What's the point? What's the point? Nonetheless, I think there's a story here, or at least a little bit of a story as it pertains to the 2019 Red Sox. 617-779-0985. I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, if we can open up the phone lines right away. And again, we'll take your calls on anything and everything baseball and Red Sox. That's going to be the deal here over the balance of the regular season. This program will end again, and I've told you this the last couple of nights, but just to remind everybody, for those who haven't been tuned in the last couple of nights, the last Baseball Reporters will take place on Friday, September 20th. That is a week from, I'm sorry, Friday, September 27th. That is a week from Friday. Our rule on this show always has been we end when the Red Sox end. So they end on the 29th. There's no reason to have a show on the 30th. There's nothing that we can discuss on the 30th that we can't discuss now or that we can't discuss next week. And then if there is some sort of monumental news story concerning the Red Sox during the offseason or in the fall, obviously you can catch that on the Felger and Maz show. You can also catch that this offseason in podcast form. The Baseball Reporters podcast will continue, and we'll try to get that up for you once a week. That is the plan at the moment. Here at 98.5. So again, 617-779-0985. You want to talk about Michael Yastrzemski last night? I'll take the call. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, and let me just say it was a nice moment. Okay, it was a nice moment at the ballpark. But I think some of the response and the way people gushed about it should tell you plenty about the way this Red Sox season has gone. I ran into Hardy from the Midday Show in the hallway today outside the studio, and I thought Hardy made a good point. Last night, Yastrzemski hits the home run. He gets a standing O on the way back to the dugout. Did you see that, Murray?
Yes.
And you know what it told me? Boy, people were desperate for something to cheer about at Fenway or feel good about, wasn't it?
That's all you're going to get at this time of the year.
As Hardy said, people were desperate to feel something.
That's true.
Because all of this year, you felt nothing, your baseball team. And in fact, you felt nothing more than you felt disdain, which should tell you plenty.
Right, it went from animosity to apathy pretty quick.
I mean, they got off to a bad start. You shook your head and you said, some of you said they'll play their way back in. Some of you waited, and every time that, and I waited a little bit, and every time we thought they were going to turn a corner, they didn't. They went right back to where they were, and they ended up right where they are, which is out of it. They never really got back in it. In a lot of ways, and I've said this before, the Red Sox this year did what I thought was previously impossible or unthinkable. They rendered an entire baseball season in Boston virtually irrelevant. Okay, virtually irrelevant. So, tonight, officially, before the game, Alex Cora announced David Price is done for the year. And I have to admit, this bugged me a little. It bugged me a little bit. I'm curious as to whether fans feel the same way. Because I look at it and I say, Chris Sale's sort of a different animal. Because Chris Sale got shut down. He went and saw James Andrews. He got an injection. And honestly, I still think he's looking at elbow surgery. So I sort of look at Sale and I say, what are you waiting for? Cut him, get it over with so that he's back in 2021. I feel like surgery with Sale is inevitable. We're talking about his elbow. Sale's a time bomb. Okay, that one's a time bomb. I don't know that there's any way around that other than to have surgery. And if you don't have surgery, I don't think he's ever going to be the same pitcher again. Just my two cents. Price, I feel differently about. Do you realize that since the trading deadline, David Price has made two outings? You tell me if this is a coincidence, okay? The trading deadline came and went. The Red Sox lost eight in a row. Price pitched one of the games in that stretch, which was August 4th in Yankee Stadium. And by one of the games in that stretch, I mean after the deadline. He pitched on August 4th at Yankee Stadium, and he got absolutely hammered. 2 2/3, 9 hits, 7 runs, 2 walks, 2 homers. He then didn't pitch again until September 1st. He threw 2 innings in a game at the Angels. He hasn't pitched since, and now they're shutting him down. So the Red Sox have said that Price has a cyst in his wrist. You have the manager acknowledging that if the Red Sox were in it, Price could probably work out of the bullpen because he's been shut down so long. They don't have he doesn't have the arm strength or the length to pitch as a starter. And yet they're shutting him down. Why do I think like he quit a month and a half ago, Murray?
Well, given
am I wrong to feel that?
No, given his overall nature, how he's carried himself since he's been here, and I'm right with you. You know, the numbers dropped dramatically, or they went up, rather, in terms of his ERA post-All-Star break, over 3, ERA under 8. And you talk about, you know, how he had those two starts, really, after the trade deadline. He looked like a different guy, but I don't know. Okay, maybe there was something going on there. But Alex Cora even said tonight, if they were in this thing, they'd probably have him coming out of the bullpen. So he could still pitch. He quit.
Jimmy Stewart, am I wrong to feel that way? Am I wrong to feel that David Price pulled the plug right around August 1st?
You are not, Tony, because everybody else on this team, with the exception of a handful, have quit too. They didn't take this season seriously.
I mean, that's what it feels like to me, that the Red Sox got off to a bad start. They felt they had nothing to prove.
And they bagged it.
And then they went through the motions for much of the year. Again, with a few exceptions, Jimmy's right. There are a few guys that played from beginning to end, most notably Bogarts. Okay, most notably Bogarts, and I put him separate from Devers because Bogarts got a contract. Devers is still playing for his money. Devers has a lot to prove. But Bogarts got his contract. 6 years and $120 million, and he showed up. Eduardo Rodriguez, he's playing for his money. So another one, he generally pitched all year long. But David Price, the Price thing bugs me. Porcello doesn't have a choice because he's going to be a free agent. J.D. Martinez doesn't have a choice because he could be a free agent. I do feel a little bit like Mookie's kind of shutting it down. I know that he's got some sort of foot issue.
Oh, he's done for the year. They'll announce it soon enough.
Okay, so I feel like Mookie's kind of shut it down a little bit. I feel like a lot of them have. And given the way the year has gone, I'm losing respect for some of these guys. Now, in the same breath, I will tell you, boy, it would be stupid if you had a guy who's a centerpiece player to put him out on the field right now, if there was any doubt.
I'll tell you right now, though, with Betts, I have no problem with him getting shut down, or if he decides to shut it down, don't want to play the rest of this useless season, because they're not going to be back in the playoffs. That's obvious. So I think we all kind of feel like he's going to get moved this offseason. Don't risk it. Don't put him out there.
Okay, so that's a good point, Murray, too, is that in the case of Betts, you look at it and say, no, he's worth something. If he gets hurt now, then you screw yourself on a trade. But Price, you're paying him $31 million a year. It's a cyst in his wrist. It's not, a frayed ligament in his elbow. It's not shoulder soreness. I think it's something he can pitch through. I think that he may have to have surgery to go in and remove it, but I don't think it's anything that he can't pitch through without some pain. In other words, I don't think it's going to make it worse.
Right.
I don't think he's going to, rip up his wrist or anything of the
like. Just aggravating.
So shoot him up and get him out there.
Tony.
As stupid as that is, that's how I feel. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Remember when Price said that he was opting in last season after they won the World Series? And he said something along the lines of, look at the market. Why wouldn't I opt in? He got his World Series ring last year. Now he's here for the money. So if they're not going to win the World Series, I got my money. I'll take my money. I'll collect my check. I'll be miserable here. I'll make Mookie Betts miserable here. And we'll go from there.
I mean, I've had a bad taste in my mouth, Jimmy, for this Red Sox season from the very beginning. From the very, very beginning. Now it's ending with a bad taste in my mouth, too. Okay, and again, nothing horrific, no finger pointing yet or any of that stuff, and I don't think we're going to get it. We've had a GM fired, certainly, or president of baseball operations. And now, as is often the case at this stage of the year, you're seeing plugs get pulled and guys coming out of the lineup. That's what you're seeing. But the Price thing bugs me because I go back to that trade deadline. He pulled the plug then. He got hammered by the Yankees in the middle of that stretch, and then they quit. They quit. So we'll start there tonight. I want to get to another member of the rotation next because, boy, the Red Sox have some serious dilemmas. I told you we're going to try to go through the roster here in the next 10 days, identify some specific players that bring interesting questions with them. We'll get to that guy in the next segment. But first, we'll go right to your calls. Garrett's in New Hampshire on David Price. Go ahead, Garrett.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I was wondering if you guys thought it was a possibility they were sitting him because, similar to Mookie, he's worth something and could be possibly traded.
So, Garrett, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting idea. I just question whether or not they're going to be able to move Price. Here's the other problem. You need pitching. You need pitching. So Chris Sale may not pitch next year. You're going to lose Porcello. Your payroll is coming down. I think we can say that with relative certainty. The question is, how far down is it going to come? But if your payroll has to come down to $208 million, and right now your rotation is who? Eduardo Rodriguez, Price, Sale, and Eovaldi. Sale might have elbow surgery. Price might have surgery on his wrist. And Eovaldi's been bad really all year long. So you need starting pitching, and you're going to trade away David Price? Like, that to me doesn't feel right. Now, again, if you're telling me that they can eat $10 million, trade David Price in the final 3 years of his deal to St. Louis and get some good prospects, I will listen. I will listen. But then you better be prepared for next year being a throwaway year. Quickly, Andrew and Taunton. Go ahead, Andrew.
Matt, I'll acknowledge two things first, which is right after the deadline, like a lot of people, believe the season was over anyway. And I know the Red Sox fans were tied. But what bugs me about the David Price thing and kind of Chris Sale in that, and with a lot of the pitchers too, is Price, I think, quit. But there was still that, like, well, we'll get Price back eventually and our rotation will even out. And we might get Sale back and our rotation will even out. I wish we just knew that they quit or that they were done for the year so they could have figured something out instead of what felt like a ton of stopgaps. No, they couldn't have added anybody, but they could have at least said, hey, let's stretch somebody out to take these spots in those rotations. Instead of, you know, throwing openers 3 out of 5 days.
So, Andrew, I think they told you everything you need to know on September 1. Again, I'm not surprised this happened with Price. I'm just telling you now that it's been formalized. I do look at it and say, come on. You couldn't have just played it out a little bit more, some of these veteran guys. But on September 1st, when they ended up with, how many relievers did they end up with? 17? Didn't they have 21 pitchers on the staff and 17 relievers?
Yep.
I mean, once they did that, you knew what they were going to do. They were just going to pitch bums the whole month of September. Last night's game, 24 pitchers combined. That's a spring training game last night. That's embarrassment. I mean, if you have tickets for that game, and I understand it comes with the territory. There's an inferred risk with September tickets, but that was a spring training game last night. I mean, you pay full price. It is what it is, but you get ripped off. I suppose maybe many of you enjoyed the Mike Yastrzemski moment and the Red Sox were happy for it, probably because they could, snooker you a little bit into thinking you actually get something to watch. And maybe you did, because the Red Sox, they sure as hell didn't give it to you this year. We'll get to the other member of the starting rotation that I think is a really big problem going into 2020. Nathan Eovaldi, next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Giants managed by retiring manager Bruce Bochy. And a high drive into left field, back to the wall. Benintendi back there. And that's going to be gone out of here. Had just enough for his 17th home run of the season to make it 1-0 San Francisco.
Well, that was a less memorable home run at Fenway Park last night. That one happened early. Brandon Belt in the first inning against Nathan Eovaldi. He went over the left field wall. Continuing a season that has been, for Nathan Eovaldi, dare I say, like, athletically speaking, a train wreck. Could this thing have been any worse for Nathan Eovaldi? And, like, and again, I find ways to get agitated about the Red Sox when I really start thinking about it. So I told you, David Price in the first segment. The Red Sox have shut down Price for the year. Oh, isn't that nice? Price pitched up until the trading deadline, was having a pretty good year, although he was having a really good year until he started popping off about Dennis Eckersley again. Then that whole thing blew up. The Red Sox lose 8 in a row at the deadline, a stretch that he contributed to, had a bad game at Yankee Stadium, and then after that, he's pitched 2 innings. 2 innings. So once they lost 8 in a row, it felt like, you know what? I think I'm done. It felt to me like the Red Sox didn't want to show up this year, and then when it got hard for them, they quit. Some of them. Not all of them, some of them. $31 million. Paid more than anybody on your staff. He's got a cyst in his wrist. Okay, so again, causing him some discomfort. I don't doubt that. The question is, could he pitch through it, or the Red Sox look at it and say, you know what? Shut it down. Or did he pull the plug on it or what? I find that irritating. And listen, and I will admit, it's smart to not pitch him. I'm not saying that. But part of me feels like he quit. Part of me feels like David Price quit on August 1st. I mean, I think he pitched on the 4th, that Yankee game. But once that happened, it was over. That was it. David Price decided, well, I got a tough night against the Yankees. We're out of it. We lost 8 in a row. You know, my wrist is bothering me. I'm out. Then there's the case of Nathan Eovaldi. So let me ask Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray, and I ask you, if you're driving home as a listener, what do you do with this guy? What do you do with Eovaldi? 4 years, $68 million, 17 per, and this year, oh, did he suck. And in a big way. I'll give you the numbers just quickly. 21 games, 6.19 ERA. He has one win. He pitched 56 and two-thirds innings. He gave up 14 home runs. He's just been absolutely clobbered. 14 home runs in 56 innings. That is getting your face ripped off, is what that is. No, Eovaldi has sucked as a starter and in the bullpen all year long. 3 more years you get this guy for at 17 per. What do you do with him, Murray?
Get him right and hope you can find a trade partner and move him.
Jimmy Stewart, what do you do? Bullpen starter?
You're stuck with him, 100% stuck with him. Nobody's taking that contract. Dombrowski overpaid him by, what, $6, $8 million in the offseason?
I mean, really, it's astonishing. Wait till I give you his year-by-year salaries. Okay, wait till you really look at it. And I'll remind you that some of us warned you about giving Eovaldi too much money. Sean's in Salem. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could tie it in with Eovaldi, but hopefully, you know, next year is a write-off season as far as I'm concerned, right? You get rid of vets. Fiscally, you have to do this. But maybe you can package Eovaldi in there and say if you want vets, you're taking on Eovaldi as well. But you have to make all these decisions fast because the last thing you want to do, and especially if you want to get under the cap and do a quick rebuild, is have JD opt in, right? If he thinks everybody's sticking around, he opts in, and then all of a sudden everybody leaves, he's not going to be happy. But if he sees the writing on the wall with bets gone and maybe a starter gone, you would hope that he would opt out thinking he can get some money there.
Okay, Sean, before you go on too long, let me just say I'm not worried about keeping JD Martinez happy. I'm worried about having the best team I can have. Okay, but when you bring up Eovaldi and tie him to Mookie, if you can get rid of Eovaldi by attaching him to Mookie, but it means you will get less back in a trade. Okay, because a team that says, well, you want us to take on another 17 for 3 years, if you want us to do that, we're not going to give you the same quality of prospects. Would you do it?
Yes, because you could spend the money in free agency or along the way, you know, next season. Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't. I'd rather eat the money on Eovaldi. $17 million hurts, but it won't kill you. And the Red Sox need minor league talent more than they need the financial flexibility. They're not going to fix their problems through free agency. That's how they got into this mess, at least in part. No. So I'm trading Mookie straight up. I'm not dumping money with Mookie. I'm not doing that. I want talent for Mookie Betts. And the way to get the most talent is to deal him straight up. You don't saddle anybody with anything else. Troy in Dorchester with an idea. Go ahead, Troy.
How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
So I'm just curious how you think about with all the stuff that's happening. As soon as David Ortiz threw that first pitch, it just dawned on me. They're going to try to make this guy the GM. That's going to be the ultimate save face move.
So, Troy, I get what you're saying from a PR standpoint. No shot. David, first of all, I'm not sure he wants to do the job. Secondly, I'm not sure he can do the job, especially coming off, a gunshot wound. And they need somebody who is, skilled in player evaluation, because the biggest challenge they have now is evaluating young talent, whether it's in their organization or out of it. They have a major problem there, and they are going to have to address that. And he's the wrong guy to do it. AJ's in the car. AJ, go.
Hey, I was just wondering, the guy that got Chacin, I know he pitched in Milwaukee. He used to be one of their, number one pitchers at some point. Do you see him sticking around in the rotation next year? Because I know we're trying to save money and stuff like that.
So, AJ, yeah, it's a good question. Okay, and I'm glad you brought him up. Because Julius Chacin, and I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing his first name right, but he's pitching tonight for the Red Sox. I think he's pitched something like 5 2/3 innings since he joined the team. He hasn't given up a run. He was absolutely brutal for the Brewers this year. He was pretty good for them last year. Remember, the Brewers released him. So, would I be interested in re-signing if I'm the Red Sox? Yes. And you know why? Because I think he'll be cheap. And I think that having given him the time and the opportunity here at the end of the year, the Red Sox got out in front of it a little bit. They introduced him to their operation, and he's more likely to stay now and re-sign. And what they need is cheap pitching. So now, Chacin, is he any good? I don't know. What's the likelihood of him going, 15-7 or whatever the hell he went last year for the Brewers? And I'll try to look that up for you. I mean, I doubt you're going to get that. But I think that if he's the kind of guy, and again, let me just look it up. Last year, he went 15-8 for Milwaukee. This year, he was 3-10 with an ERA of almost 6. So you know what he feels like to me? And this is a loose comparison. Rick Porcello. If you get him on a good year, he can give you something close to 200 innings, and he'll win more than he loses. You catch him on a bad year, he'll really suck. And so, but the Red Sox are in no position here to spend big on pitchers. So I think they're going to take a chance on guys like Chacin. I'm just trying to prepare you for what's coming this offseason. Okay, I'm trying to prepare you. Because I would not expect big news from the Red Sox, at least in terms of big league acquisitions. The biggest move they're going to make this offseason is two of them. One is hiring a GM, and the second one is identifying what they're going to get from Mookie Betts, and I'm telling you, that's going to be prospects / budding big leaguers, but it's not going to be someone who's going to come in and save the 2020 season, I don't think. Murray's got your headlines, and then we're going to take you back to the Nathan Eovaldi signing, and I want to go over Eovaldi's history financially, his contract history before the Red Sox gave him a contract, just to prove how absolutely outlandish the offer they gave him was. We'll do that when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Down he goes. A strikeout for Eovaldi as Bregman is now 0-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight.
Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Four-seamer by Bregman.
102 miles an hour. 102. Bregman comes up late in the game. Eovaldi goes 102. Sit your ass down. Post that on Instagram, bitch. That's what that was. I love that. That to me was one of the great moments of the game. Oh, did I love that. After that whole thing, here's Bregman in the box. Here's Eovaldi on the mound. Elimination night. 102. 2. Suck on that. They wouldn't throw him a fastball the whole series. 102, you can't hit that. Sit your fat ass down. No. Oh, I loved it. Oh, God, did I love that. 102. When's the last time a Red Sox pitcher threw 102?
That stuff usually comes home to roost.
What a bullet. Oh, my God. Sit on that one, bitch, and spin. Hard to believe that was less than a year ago. Amazing how fast it can change, especially in baseball. I mean, the line between success and failure in that sport really is so fine. So Nathan Eovaldi was a hero for the Red Sox last October. He was tremendous. Out of the bullpen, as a starter, whatever it was, and the matchups were good for him. He was good against the Yankees. He was good against the Astros, who have a lot of right-handed batters. He obviously pitched 6 innings in relief, albeit in a game they lost against the Dodgers in the World Series, but he was an absolute force in that game out of the bullpen. A lot to like about Nathan Eovaldi. Then the Red Sox re-signed him for 4 years and $68 million. 4 years and $68 million. 17 per. And I don't think we did this at the time to go through to say just to detail how gross an overpayment it was, but I know I said it. I know I said it. And in fact, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, found it. So, Jimmy, why don't you remind everybody what I said? This is back to what? Last November? Last December?
December 6th.
Okay, December 6th, when they re-signed Nathan Eovaldi. Here's what I told you. The contract? Outrageous.
It's outrageous?
For that player, outrageous.
Why? Explain.
In this day and age, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. Okay, so I'm not saying that in and of itself a $17 million a year contract is outrageous. It's not. I'm telling you, for him, he's not a $17 million a year pitcher. Not even close. I was stretching to get to 13. Okay, so that's what I told you last December. That's what I told you last December. And you know what? I said I was stretching to get to 13. I was stretching way too much. That would have been a gross overpayment. So before I get to the numbers, we do have a couple of open lines, 617-779-0985. Again, the rule going forward here for the balance of the baseball season, as long as the Red Sox are playing regular season games, we'll be on the air. So that is through next Friday, the 27th. No matter what you want to talk about or ask with regard to the Red Sox or baseball, now's a great time to do it. 617-779-0985. As for Eovaldi, I don't know what the Red Sox do here. You're stuck with them. You're stuck with him. Now, the good news is you need pitching, so maybe he comes around and he's better this year than he was last year. As good as Eovaldi was in the postseason last year, I told you he's not that good. I also believe he's not this bad. He's not a 6 ERA guy. But just to give you an idea, in 2014 with the Marlins, Nathan Eovaldi made a little over $500,000. Now, he wasn't eligible for arbitration yet, which is fine. Okay, that's hard to judge. He then went to New York for $3.3 million. Okay, $3.3 million. He went 14-3 for the Yankees that year with an ERA in the fours. His salary went up to 5.6. Okay, that was in 2016. In 2016, he earned $5.6 million. He then missed all of 2017 because of elbow surgery. He came back in 2018 after the start of the year on a $2 million contract with Tampa Bay. And again, this is a guy coming off elbow surgery. So he peaked at 5.6 with the Yankees. He had elbow surgery. Then he came back and got $2 million from Tampa. He pitched fairly well for Tampa, came to the Red Sox, and had a pretty good half season. Not a great half season, a pretty good half season. Quickly, Murray and Jimmy, if I were to say to you, in the regular season now with the Red Sox before the playoffs, what did Eovaldi do? What would you guess?
What do you mean? Like,
was he great? Was he good? Like,
no.
I'd say he was okay. He's probably like 5-4 with a 4 ERA.
Yeah, I figured around 500.
3-3, 3.33.
Okay? So I lose under Price is Right rules.
So, but I would tell you, you're not far off. He was pretty good. He wasn't great. He was pretty good. Then he had a really good postseason. And so a guy who had made a combined $11 million over three or four years, depending if you count the year he was injured. He had made $11 million over 4 years, had had two elbow surgeries. The Red Sox gave him $17 million a year. $17 million a year. Of all the stupid contracts the Red Sox have ever given out, that might be one of the stupidest. The Chris Sale deal's right up there given his injury, but at least Sale's a Cy Young Award winner. This guy had a losing record and was a mediocre pitcher for his entire career. You know what the Red Sox did here, Murray? The Red Sox walked into a bar, found a woman who was bombed out of her skull, that was looking for a little action. They wanted a little action. They had a good time together. They enjoyed it. They woke up the next day. They had a couple of good months together. And then they realized that they shouldn't have gotten married, but they did. Whose fault is that?
That was the guy that stumbled into the bar.
What a mistake.
Most of those Vegas marriages actually don't pan out.
What a mistake. Just because you meet her in a bar, she's a little tipsy, you're a little tipsy, you're going to have a good time together, you date for a couple of months, the sex is good, that doesn't mean you get married. Oh, what a mistake. What a mistake. God, $17 million for that guy. When I go back and look at the salary history, what a complete bonehead move that was. Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, you know, Mike, I guess my question is, like, where does this team go from here? Last year at this time, I couldn't have been more excited. And the grit that they showed in the postseason had me even more excited about what we were looking at going into this season. And then it was just a colossal disappointment. You couldn't keep pitchers healthy. You couldn't keep guys on the field. And it seems like they don't even want to be here. Where do we go? What's next?
Yeah, so, Mike, look, I mean, the situation is what it is. As I've said, and I don't know any other way to put it, here's the problem. You have holes. You have major holes. You have holes in the rotation. You have holes in the bullpen. You need a first baseman, a second baseman, and a backup catcher. And you have to trade your right fielder who's a borderline franchise player. Okay, so you have all these issues. And here comes the hard part. You don't have any money to spend, and you don't have any prospects to trade. Now go fix it. Go fix it. Nice dilemma. Really. John's in a car. John, what do you got?
Tony, when it comes to Dombrowski and he's making all these moves, who's watching him? We all got a boss.
Ownership.
So is it ultimately John Henry?
Yes.
So, I mean, can't we look at this objectively and say, it's a broken toy, it's a squirt gun that shoots jelly, square wheel train, whatever you want to call them. We hit the lightning in the bottle, and not one person in that office of ownership can sit there and look at him and say, this is a bad idea. We let have Sale. We can't let you have Evaldi. I mean, to me, they get exactly what they deserve because they fall in love with a name like Dombrowski. And look, he won the World Series. He did what he came here to do. This isn't even his fault, Tony.
Okay, so John, before you go on, let me just point this out to you, because this is the part that confuses me. Do you want ownership involved in baseball decisions?
When it comes to an extreme point like that, once in a while, you got to at least have a check and balance. I think we can agree there.
Okay, so yes, I want a check and balance too, but I don't want ownership involved in baseball decisions. So I'll tell you, this is where people get stuck. How does John Henry not intervene? John Henry and Larry Lucchino intervened on John Lester. How did that go? John Lester left. They should have kept him. So then John Henry said, well, I'm going to hire Dombrowski. I need someone who's a little bit more authoritative or assertive and someone who's going to make decisions because I can't be on him all the time. I don't have a Larry anymore. So he brought in Dombrowski. Dombrowski ran wild. I put Lavaldi on Dombrowski. I do. And I put Sale on Dombrowski. Dombrowski should know better, but his solution is always, let me just throw someone else's money at it or someone else's prospects. I'll just keep doing that. It's easier. So he makes an easy decision. Stupid, but easy. That's what he did. So I put that one on Dombrowski. I don't want ownership in baseball decisions. I don't. I feel like that's where things get messed up. So now you want to tell me that they hired the wrong guy in Dombrowski? I suppose you could say that. Okay, that one you can hold them to. But now, When I read that they want a collaborative model with the next GM, I don't want that. Hire a GM with a philosophy, and if he's young and inexperienced with regard to negotiations and stuff like that, then put a guy next to him, a right-hand man, just like they did with Theo 14, 15 years ago, whenever it was. To me, that's an easy solution. That's what I would do. But I don't want ownership in there deciding which players they should spend on and which ones they shouldn't, because the owners don't know either. Eric's in a car. Eric, quickly.
Hey, Tony. Good to talk to you. I'm ready for a couple lean years with the Red Sox. They're going to be saddled with these exorbitant pitching contracts for the foreseeable future. And I think they really need to trim fat. I hate to see Mookie go, but he's going to go. I actually hope JD doesn't opt in. And I would have loved to have kept Sale and Eovaldi, but not at the money they're paying these guys.
So, Eric, listen, none of us like the crazy contracts. I mean, they do. They hurt the team.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.